Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Melt Hammer podcast. It's episode 152. I am Merlin from Melt Hammer magazine, and joining me today is the one and only Eleanor Goodman, also of Melt Hammer magazine. Hello, El.
Hello, Mel.
Also joining us is the one and only Mr. Stephen Hill, Melt Hammer contributor, podcast extraordinaire, and all-around lovely man. How are you doing, Steve?
All right, mate. How are you? How are you both?
Good. Yeah, good. Happy to be here. This podcast is going to mark the start of a slightly different feel to the Metal Hammer podcast moving forwards, rather than kind of sticking to the same rigid formula and kind of cramming as much stuff in as we can to each episode and maybe not spending quite as much time as we'd like to spend doing each part of that. We're going to dedicate each podcast for the most part to one topic, one thing that we want to talk about, one thing that we want to go out in depth. And this week, that thing is none other than the imminent ninth album from the one and only Architects, For Those That Wish To Exist, coming out this Friday, February 26th, through Epitaph Records. It's a big album in their progression and their career. We're going to talk a little bit about that before we get stuck into the record itself. This is an interesting album for Architects, isn't it? Because obviously the last album was the first thing they released. Holy Hell at the end of 2018 was the first album they released since the passing of Tom Searle. And so that had a lot of emotional weight hanging over it, obviously. And a lot of people didn't know what to expect from that record. Now we know that this is, in many ways, the start of a whole new chapter for Architects. And it's fascinating to see where it will take them. What do you think this album kind of means in Architects' journey and their progression, Steve, in terms of where they currently sit and what this album could do for them from here?
I think the first thing it's worth saying is that Holy Hell, I think, you know, that you've mentioned the circumstances surrounding Holy Hell, and I think Architects did the best album they could possibly do in incredibly trying circumstances with that record. I think Holy Hell is a good record. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, they just come off the back of three really, really great records that have got progressively better. And I think on reflection, Holy Hell, particularly in comparison with All Our Gods Have Abandoned Us, which I think is the best thing they'd ever done, I don't think it was quite of the same quality of that, but still a good record. But then I think it's kind of understandable, like I say, with the circumstances that the album was made in. But what's quite interesting, and I think we should point out straight away, is the aftermath of Holy Hell, the amount of bands. I think you can always tell how influential or how important an album is by the amount of people that copy it in the aftermath, and the amount of bands who have just wholesale ripped off, particularly that Doomsday riff. You know, the look of Architects, the videos that were coming out in metalcore, you know, the bands like Wage War being, you know, I think the one that people looked at the most and were like, come on. Really, like, you're literally just doing Architects. So, you know, it's always interesting, I think, when a band have done something which has resonated with people so much that all of the kind of B and C list bands following off the back of them decide to do exactly the same thing as they've just done. The very, very best bands in that situation go, well, we're going to do something totally different to that, and you're not going to be able to copy this. And I think that's what Architects needed to do in order to keep that kind of upward momentum going, personally. I feel like there's probably more riding on this record, maybe even than there was in Holy Hell, I think, personally.
I think so too. I think that's a really fair point. And I agree, the circumstances around Holy Hell made it almost impossible to kind of judge that album solely on its own musical merit, because everything you couldn't even just kind of step into that. In the same way, it's impossible to look back at All Our Gods Have Abandoned Us without rethinking what some of those lyrics were talking about, and now it's taken on a whole new meaning. It was impossible to step into Holy Hell for the first time without having this weight of expectation and emotional kind of pull at the heart of it. And there's less of that around this, which means that Architects kind of have more of an open run at doing exactly what they want to do. And I'm not saying they weren't doing that on Holy Hell. They've always been a band that have blazed whatever trail they feel like they want to blaze at the time, but it just feels like they've got a real chance to kind of step up and decide what Architects are going to be moving forward and what band they're going to be. And the first thing I thought when I heard this album in full was, fuck me, I want to see this with an orchestra, because there is so much kind of extra ambience and epic scope and depth, and just so much kind of orchestral stuff going on under it, that the entire scope of Architect's sound just instantly sounds that much bigger just from what they've done on this record.
Yeah. Sorry, Eleanor, you look like you're going to say something.
Elle's being careful because she's got a lot of background noise, so she's kind of coming in on the mute and unmute situation. What are you saying, Elle? What are you saying?
Yeah, I agree with what you said. You know, they've said themselves that this album is the first time that they have written something completely fresh, you know, no kind of input, no sort of like leftover bits and pieces that Tom composed, and Dan has been the songwriter for this record, and he's now the main songwriter for Architects. And it's such an Architects record. There are so many riffs and there are so many lyrics where you're like, oh, this is classic Architects, but it's taking them out into, well, I was going to say a bigger arena, but yeah, maybe literally a bigger arena. It's just got these kind of massive electronic parts and huge hooks and big choruses that are really melodic, and with Sam singing more as well, it really feels like that next step album and that sort of moving up album that a lot of their contemporaries have had as well. You know, we had Partway Drive and Aya, Bring Me the Horizon when Jordan Fish came along, and of course those Bands of Friends, and Winston's actually on this record. It, you know, it really feels like they're part of this group that are kind of pushing, I don't want to say the boundaries as such, but just kind of pushing the scope of their own sound and just becoming bigger and bigger with what they do and more ambitious.
Yeah, it's a really good point in regards to the comparisons with Parkway and Bring Me, because they are perfect examples of bands. I mean, with Bring Me, I guess it felt like they were kind of from day dot just constantly evolving and moving forwards. But with Parkway especially, they got to that point where it's like, if you're a heavy band, you really need to decide at some point when you've kind of got to a certain size and you're playing certain venues and you're kind of moving in a certain direction, you kind of need to decide how far you're going to take that and how much you can kind of expand your sound in the right ways without totally undermining what your band's all about to start with. And I think on this album, Architects have done that and then some. I mean, from the very opening moments of the intro track and then into Black Lungs, it just feels like, it still feels like Architects, but it feels like a different band. It feels like a band that have evolved and matured into something, like I said, to start with, just more epic, bigger, deeper, more layers. And for a band that have always had a lot going on, it really is saying something that this is probably the most layered and interesting album they've done. And I mean, Black Lungs has been out there for a while now, of course, but like straight away you hear that, you feel that kind of swelling orchestral string section under it. And that's really a vibe that underpins a lot of this album, I think. Wouldn't you say so, Steve?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's also worth pointing out that, you know, in relation to Dan writing, you know, the majority of the material on this record, you know, they've had to, if you take away the primary songwriter from a band, you have to almost relearn who you are as a band. And I think it's like massively to Architects' credit that they haven't just gone, oh shit, you know, what would Tom have done? They've gone, you know, what do Architects represent today in like 2021? And they've decided to, you know, push themselves into lots of different directions. I mean, I think the cool thing about this record is, I mean, I have to be honest, when the first time I heard it, and I think I said this to you personally, Mel, was the first time I heard it, I was a little bit like, oh, I'm not really sure. I mean, it felt kind of obviously more melodic, but I was a bit kind of weirded out by it initially, because it's got things that are quite, you know, standard bearing Architects moments on it. But because it was so melodic, and because you know, parts of it were, you know, the pace of some of it maybe wasn't quite as frantic as Architects have been in the past, and because a lot of the kind of the layers and the depth take kind of 3, 4, 5 listens in the album before they really kind of sink their claws into you, I think this album's a massive grower. I've seen people online, you know, going, oh, it's not very good after, like, obviously after like one listen. And it's like, no, this, you need to listen to this record a lot. The more you listen to it, the more you put in, I think the more you will get out of it, because there are things that, I mean, I've just was just listening to it before we started today, and there's still things that I'm rediscovering, like I'm discovering or noticing about it that, you know, I've had this album since kind of late November, I think, because I reviewed it for the magazine, and obviously I had to be in before before Christmas. And I think, you know, the amount of stuff and the kind of the depth that they've gone into, it immediately sounds good. Like, it sounds lovely when you first hear it, but I don't think you can necessarily evaluate, you know, what is good about it until you've had like four or five listens and those things, because it's not an, I don't think it's not an obvious record. It's got like stuff that is very architect-y, but it's not an obviously architect sounding record. There are parts in it where you might go, who is that? And it's only Sam's voice, which is obviously incredibly recognizable, that makes you go, oh yeah, architects, yeah. Like, yeah, I think there's enough surprises on this to keep you kind of, I guess, disorientated in the first couple of listens.
Definitely. And it's funny, some of the things that have become so synonymous with architects that do kind of seek through on this record, because they've really established and grown that kind of like slow, methodical kind of chugging riff of theirs that they do. And when they first started doing a lot of that, I remember thinking at the time it was quite Gajira-y, but now when I hear it, it sounds so much more like them, because it's just that little bit more kind of sewn into their style. And it, little bits like that still sweep through, but there's still so much going on that just feels completely different to anything they've done before. And also, kind of going into what you're saying about songs growing on you and everything else, it's really interesting that when you listen to this album for the first time, one thing that did stick out is that all the songs that had been released instantly sounded like well-worn architects, trademark bangers. Like, Animals sounds absolutely huge. And when they first released that song, I remember us talking about it and being like, well, this is an interesting one for them. Like, I like it. It's cool. It's kind of quite restrained and methodical, and it's quite a clever way of doing like a hit single in a way that isn't typically architect-y. Now, the second that riff starts, it's like, yeah, this is massive. I agree that the other songs have kind of grown in the same way the more and more I've listened to it. There's some interesting stuff on here as well that recalls some quite specific vibes for me. The track Giving Blood, I love the production on it. It sounds so rich and huge. It's got a little bit of like a Faint by Linkin Park / Throne by Bring Me the Horizon vibe to it. That kind of pacey, high tempo kind of electronic tinged riff lying under it.
I was just going to say that the Throne thing came up for me quite a lot, actually. There was another song, Little Wonder, the one with Mike Kerr on it, in the chorus, that kind of reminded me of Throne as well. There's quite a few. When I think I really agree with you guys about how the record, your perception of the record changes over time. When we first got it, I was like, wow, it's kind of really Bring Me just because of the electronics. But now, to me, when I listen to it, I think, wow, it sounds really architects. But yeah, that Throne thing really kind of stood out for me a couple of times. So
I think that the EDM kind of thing I was talking about earlier is a massive part of this album as well. I love it when bands use electronic music in a way that doesn't kind of overwhelm the fundamentals of what they're doing, but kind of really brings out some of the wider scope of it more. It's something that Bring Me the Horizon have become absolute experts at over their last few albums. And I think Architects do a really good job on that here as well. I love An Ordinary Extinction. It's got that kind of throbbing EDM bass line lying under it. And then it morphs into this kind of Gajira-esque chug mixed with clattering drums. And I just love it. And Elle's waving at me excitedly, so I think she might agree.
I knew that you would love this song, and you know why? It kind of reminds me of a Marvel movie. It's sort of this kind of like, sounds like gearing up for battle or something. It sounds like really epic, and I just thought Merlin is going to love that one.
That's weird, because I thought that song sounded like a kind of metal chord up Klaxons or LCD sound system. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you're probably like both Paul, turn your nose up at that, but I mean, I don't like the Klaxons, but I really love LCD. I quite like that kind of indie dance thing, and And I was like, that's like one of those bands being really heavied up. It's almost got that sort of Hivesy rock and roll disco beat underneath it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's kind of what I meant when I kind of, it has that kind of, that ED, that kind of weird kind of pulsy bass line under it. And then it kind of kicks into those kind of like, that's what I meant by those kind of clattering drums rolling off each other. And it kind of gets really bouncy and stuff. I know exactly what you mean. I mean, anything that's compared to a Marvel movie is fine with me, obviously. So yeah, that sounds great. We're kind of jumping around here as well, but I mean, Dead Butterflies is absolutely stunning. Like, it sounds like a song that needs to be played live with the biggest, most wonderful orchestra possible in the biggest venue they can find. It just sounds absolutely huge. What do we make of the guest spots on this record? Should we start with Winston? Because that's kind of the more obvious one, I guess, for want of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the heavier songs on the record, isn't it?
Yeah, Impermanence.
I would say Impermanence. And I think what's cool about it, and this is, you know, again, something which I think Architects are really good at, is the dynamics to have Sam, for it to be a really heavy song and for Sam to come out with almost like a super sugary, sweet pop chorus, but for about 10 seconds. And it's there and it's gone. And it's like, it lifts, like, it just makes those riffs sound even heavier. And then when Winston comes in, it's even heavier. So I think, like, one thing I really like about this record, and probably why I think it's as well, why I think it's better than, well, I personally would say it's a better record than Holy Hell, is I feel like, you know, those dynamics come at you thick and fast more often. And they, it's not just like heavy bit, melodic bit, heavy bit, melodic bit, or melodic for a long time and then really super heavy. It's heavy and then super, super poppy, and then super, even heavier, and then back to, and like, you know, if it was, I'd be interested to see the sound file of this record. You know what I mean? Because I feel like it would go wildly all over the place, because there's, you know, very, very slight quiet moments and then incredibly bombastic, not even necessarily heavy moments, but just incredibly bombastic moments. And when Winston comes in, it is, it's proper like, the hairs on the back of your hand standing up. Like, he sounds so fucking pissed off. And when you've just had that really like lovely pop, like, I'm gonna say it, pop chorus from Sam, it sounds fucking brutal coming in off the back of that.
This is my favorite guest spot. I mean, I think Winston's great anyway, but I just love the heaviness of it. And I love the, everything you said, like the way that he comes in and just screams. It really just kind of makes you like, it just gives you that feeling. It's like that live feeling as well, where you just think, oh, you've kind of just been hit in the chest by it. And it's a really kind of Winston-y lyric as well. It's an Architects times Winston lyric. If we're afraid to die, we'll never truly live. And yeah, kind of like I was saying earlier, with them being peers, they've kind of got this dimension to them that's an activist as well as a rock star as well, which is really interesting about this generation of musicians, really. But yeah, just that heaviness of Winston coming in just makes me go, like, just makes me want to sort of punch the air or something. It just gets you, like, going. I hope they do it together at some point.
I'm sure that'll have to happen at some point. Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about that lyric about dying, because there's a lot of, it's fascinating to read into Architects' lyrics over the last few albums, because obviously the, you know, the situation with Tom was so awful and influenced so much of what came immediately after. And there's a few of those kind of sentiments written across some of their recent material. Obviously, yeah, Death Is Not Defeat at the start of Holy Hell. And on this record, the final track is called Dying Is Absolutely Safe, which is a very emotional song, which we'll probably get into in a second as well. But it's definitely interesting to see the kind of lyrical stance that's going on across this album, because again, it shows a very clear evolution in thinking and their emotional situation. And the, you know, they're one of those bands that I find it impossible not to get drawn into what they're actually singing about, because as well as all the political stuff and the stuff to do with the environment, which looms very large over tracks like Animals, there's this also just kind of fundamental existentialism going on, which is really fascinating to hear as well, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that existentialism, it's just all over it. There's just so much about being human, the effects of nature, the effects of us on nature. And there is just small things as well, like there's recurring words. There's a lot of words and vocabulary that they use, which is very architect-y to me, which you kind of, you just pick up little snatches and you're like, oh yeah, that's really them. And they just say bones like loads of times as well. And you can't get more fundamental when it comes to being human or when it comes to talking about a relationship with nature than literally our actual bones. There are quite a few of things like that, which they just kind of jump out really.
That's a really, really good point with bones, because yeah, that was on the last album as well. So yeah, we talked about Winston's little turn. What do we think of Mike Kerr, he of Royal Blood fame? So this is the first of two guest spots, which are maybe slightly surprising, slightly outside the obvious remit of what you would expect on an Architects album.
I don't know, because I mean, they're both Brighton bands, aren't they?
True. True.
So, I know that Sam grew up in the same like little village area as Mike, apparently. So both two bands who've from gone on to do massive things from like a very small area.
Very fair point.
So I'm not like super duper surprised. I mean, Royal Blood, I don't really listen to Royal Blood, to be honest. Obviously, they were back kind of 6-7 years ago. They had that number one album and they were playing the Brits and stuff, and they were like, looked like they were going to be a really, really big deal. They're absolutely perfectly fine. I mean, I have to say, if I was to get into criticisms of the record, and I don't have that many, but you know, I gave it an 8 in the magazine, so it's obviously not a perfect album, but it's a very good one. It's quite long. It's nearly an hour long, which for a kind of essentially a metalcore album, I think is quite a healthy chunk of time. I think ideally these sort of albums, I would probably look to do kind of between 40 and 45 minutes. So for me, there's a little bit with Little Wonder and Flight Without Feathers, for me, seems like a slight drop. I think the first half of the record, to me, is a more melodic version of Architects doing something that they're very good at. And then for me, there's a slight drop, which then is lifted completely. I mean, as soon as Animals comes in, I think the second half of the record is fucking outstanding. But I think there is a little drop, and I think the Mike Kerr track for me is one of the two that is slightly where I think like I might have trimmed that off the album myself.
Yeah, I know what you mean with the kind of the flow of the album and the how it just dips that little bit just for a couple of tracks in the middle. I agree actually, because even looking at my notes now, I've not really made any specific notes on Flight Without Feathers or Little Wonder, whereas everything after that I've got all these notes on, because I think there's a lot more interesting and just good stuff on there. Obviously we mentioned Animals, it already feels like an all-time great Architects single. I think Al said that your favourite guest spot was Winston, which I think is fucking great. I think mine actually is Simon Neil on Goliath, and I might be a little bit biased towards it because I love that last Biffy album so much, and I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that it was such a big deal when it came out, and Simon Neil's been guest spotting all over the place since then. But it's really cool to see an artist like this on Architects' album, because he's such a vital part of the British music scene over the last kind of 15, 20 years. And I love him on here. I love his highs. I think his clean vocals like sound different enough from Sam's to add a different dimension. And then when Simon goes into those screams near the end, it actually kind of shocked me a little bit out of what I was doing. Because at first I just assumed it was Sam, just because that's what you expect. And then when I realised it was Simon, it was just like, oh my God, I haven't heard Simon kind of give this. I mean, there's a tiny, tiny bit of this stuff on the last Biffy album, but not like this visceral. And to hear him kind of go down that road was just really nice. And I think it works as a really good dynamic. What did you guys think of this track?
I think it's my second favourite song on the record. I think Simon Neil is not only the best guest vocalist on the album, I think he's the best vocalist on the album, to be honest. I think his performance on this song, he sounds like he's absolutely tearing his throat to shreds, and it's fucking great. I mean, as a, you know, not a super hardcore Biffy Clyro fan, I'm not a hardcore Billy Talent fan either, but as I'm not like a mad, you know, some people get like Black and Sky and they are obsessed with the early Biffy records. I'm not quite like that, although I do like, you know, Infinity Land, particularly, like I really like, and there's some very abrasive material on that. So anytime you hear Simon Neil doing that scream, I'm well into. And I think that kind of, it's got a riff that sounds like Stranded by Gojira. It goes all over the place. I think Goliath is one of the ones where you go, this new version of Architects, that's the direction you want to be going in. Like the next album, I want 12 of them personally. It's fucking brilliant, that song. Absolutely brilliant. And Simon is incredible on it as well.
I am one of those people that was obsessed with Biffy Clyro and went to all the gigs and had all the early albums and might have hung around outside venues to meet them when I was younger. And I think Simon's guest spot on this is really cool. I guess I picked the Winston one as my favourite because it's so instantaneous. And I am somebody that just genuinely likes instantaneous things like that. It's kind of short and sharp, but yeah, I agree, like, he's really good on this. It's a cool song, and yeah, I'm not that into the Mike Kerr verse stuff. I think it's fine, but for me it doesn't add loads to it. It's just kind of, yeah, that's the thing.
That's fair. There's some more interesting stuff towards the end of the album. I really like Demigod. I like Sam's kind of unusual ethereal kind of high pitch vocals going on here, more strings and all that kind of stuff coming back into it as well.
Demigod is, for me, comfortably the best song on the record.
Oh, that's
absolutely comfortably the best song on the record. And again, when I go like, I want 12 of them, I mean, Demigod to me, there's bits of, you know, all the stuff we've been talking about when you talk about Bring Me the Horizon and Linkin Park and other metalcore bands and that Gojira chug. Demigod sounds like, do you remember, you probably know this song, Our Motion Sickness by Silverchair? The first track on their third album, Neon Ballroom, from 1999.
Yes, I love that song. It was a very good song. I sang it then. I just decided not to embarrass myself.
Yeah, but it's got this incredible piano part on it. And it's got these kind of swooping strings. And that song, I think, is where you look at Architects and you go, you could, if you really honed in on that. I mean, the last, for me, the last four songs, the three of the last four songs, so Goliath, Demigod, and then Dying Is Absolutely Safe. To be honest, for me, again, those three songs are so good that Meteor's fine in the middle of them. But I think, again, Meteor would be the other one that I reckon. You could probably lose Meteor because I think those last three are so different and so strong.
I was shaking her head here.
No, you're not getting rid of Meteor. You can fuck right off, Steve.
What's that then?
I do like Demigod. I think the strings on the opener are amazing, and then there's a real sense of openness about it, which is really nice. And Meteor is a safer track for sure, and they've released that as a single, and it is that sort of more arenary rock thing. But I think Meteor's really solid, so you can't get rid of it. Sorry.
I think solid in amongst three pieces of like three. It's a seven amongst three tens, I would say, Meteor.
I don't know. I mean, I do just kind of like that more immediate stuff, probably more than you do. So I just wouldn't get rid of it. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
If it was in the first half of the record, maybe I wouldn't feel so much like that. But I think you're sticking in like a fairly rudimentary sounding Architect song in amongst some stuff that they haven't really done before. I mean, you know, again, particularly coming off the back of Demigod, which reminds me more of Nine Inch Nails. Well, yeah, it reminds me more of Nine Inch Nails than it does anything kind of metalcore in any way whatsoever. And then you've got Dying Is Absolutely Safe at the end, which I think is probably the softest, the most kind of slight sounding melodic song they've ever put their name to, would you say?
I mean, there's obviously a lot of melodic stuff on The Hereafter especially, but
yeah.
Sorry, The Here and Now.
Yeah.
Dying Is Absolutely Safe is a wonderful song, like kind of build of that kind of acoustic into the kind of piano segment. Again, all these swelling strings just building up to this really emotional climax. I think Sam's vocals are wonderful on this song as well. They have become quite adept at rolling with the emotional gut punches, Architects. And for me, this is one of the biggest ones they've dropped. And it really kind of stays with you, this song. And yeah, I think I agree with, I mean, well, what both of you said in different ways, really. Like, you know, maybe not every track on here is necessarily like a 10 out of 10 all-time great Architects song, but it's a fucking great album. And you just can't help but just applaud the kind of sheer scope of vision that this band now have. You know, they're 9 albums in. And when you look at what other bands were doing 9 albums into their career, I mean, I think Metallica, that was like Death Magnetic or something, wasn't it? To think that this band are now at that point in their career and they're coming out with stuff which is not just as interesting, but more interesting, more layered, more to kind of dig through and explore and vibe with than anything they've done before is quite astonishing. Do you think that this is the album? I mean, we know that kind of emotionally and for where they're at, this is the album that they needed to make. Do you think this is the album that will propel them forwards? Because I feel like it's a bit of an unknown glass ceiling for a band like Architects. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't really know. There's no real kind of, unless you count someone like Bring Me, there's no real measuring stick for a band like them. Do you think this can take them forward and upwards from where they are now?
Yeah, I think, like, for me, I think Bring Me the Horizon are the perfect sort of example of what you can do. I mean, for me, Bring Me the Horizon, one thing about, like, you know, I've not always been totally positive about Bring Me the Horizon on this podcast, and, you know, there's parts of their career that I really like. I absolutely love Semper Eternal. I think it's fucking brilliant. And they have a very clear identity. What they also have is quite a bit, like, Ollie Sykes is a big character. He's not even necessarily a big character, but he's someone who is very, very recognisable and people have gravitated to. The guys in Architects are far more normal, down-to-earth guys. I don't think Architects have the same pull as, you know, pop musicians with a, you know, like, I don't see someone like Sam Carter being part of the inspiring, you know, the same sort of cult-like thing that Ollie Sykes does. I don't really see that, to be honest. And I think that's to their credit, really. And when we've spoken about Ammo on this show a bunch of times as well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on this album, but it's far more cohesive and it's far more linear than Ammo was, for example, which I thought could be great and could be terrible, ultimately as an album, like a bit of a mess. But it was about kind of Bring Me sort of about more than that, aren't they? They're about that they became the band, the way they look, the way they present themselves, all those things are really important, and they're important to any band. But I think Architects, I don't see Architects going down that particular road, and you can overcome that. I think it's definitely possible to overcome that. In metalcore, I think it's very difficult. I don't really even know if this is a metalcore album. I mean, well, it is, but it's certainly a lot more than just a sort of standard metalcore album. And I wonder about the fans of this type of thing. But what I would say is that, like we said earlier, this is the first go at doing this for Architects. If this is their first go at getting together as the members of the band now and writing material in this vein, and they've come up with, I mean, like I say, the second half of the album has got probably some of the strongest material they've ever written in their career. Something like Demigod Goliath, Dying is Absolutely Safe, that can go toe-to-toe with anything they've ever done in their entire back catalogue, right? Now, if they write an entire album that progresses on those ideas on the next album, I think people will stop thinking about them as a band like Bring Me the Horizon and maybe start thinking of them more as a band like, I don't know, Radiohead or something. Do you know what I mean? Like something who you go, well, you're not even part of that anymore. And I hope that happens. So if it doesn't happen now, and it doesn't happen on this album, I think this album will do very, they'll do very well on this record. But I think it's when the next album comes along, you might see an entirely different shift. And I hope, and I trust Architects to shift their fan to a fan base that are far more, I don't want to shit on the Bring Me Horizon fan base or like new Bring Me the Horizon fans or whatever, but I think you're more likely to get fair weather Bring Me the Horizon fans than you would do if Architects continue down the route that I would like to see them travel down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you mentioned Radiohead, but I was just thinking of Biffy Clyro because we were just talking about them so much. And they're one of these bands that started out as a sort of scrappier rock band and then grew into this mainstream rock band that headline mainstream festivals. And you kind of look back and you're like, how did that happen? And I see that sort of path more than I perhaps see a Bring Me path in a sense, because their fans tend to, I don't want to say age down because it's not really accurate, but they tend to bring their fans with them. The diehards will always stick with them. You'll get some fair weather ones that kind of come in and out of it. And then when they release new stuff, they are really good at capturing the zeitgeist with their merch and their music. And they tend to then kind of pick up younger fans with them and bring them along with the rest of it. So they sort of fit into all sort of different boxes depending on what material they've got. And but with Architects, like you said, Steve, I sort of see the sound growing into this kind of bigger, rockier place, which to me would fit along with the trajectory of someone like Biffy Clyro more closely. And along with like not having the same kind of image, you know, the Architects' image is kind of softer. I don't know if it's the right word, but you get people that are like, I want to look like Ollie Sykes, and they want the whole package of it. Whereas Architects, it is kind of more about the music. And then the visuals that go with that sort of a secondary to it and kind of accompany it when they play shows, that's kind of, you know, the visuals sort of help the music along rather than driving it or rather than being super, super theatrical. So yeah, I kind of seen them more going towards that mainstream rock direction rather than the metalcore direction.
I definitely think, and yeah, given that Simon's on the album, I definitely do think that Biffy is a potentially interesting comparison. You know, bands come from the alternative scene, the heavy scene, grown into something that's still really credible and interesting. I mean, you know, I don't know if Biffy have ever done anything that is as kind of vast as what Architects are doing on some of this record. But there's a lot of different avenues they can go down, isn't there? And I think you're both right. It's easy to kind of go, well, this band got big and they're from Britain or they're kind of metalcore or whatever, so that's the comparison we should make. But there's a lot of different ways in which bands can establish a legacy. And I mean, Architects are 9 albums in, they've established a legacy. But I think there's, I'm fascinated to see what this album cycle does for them, because I think the goodwill around this band is as high as there is around any band in the world. And I think the Royal Albert Hall show built on that. And I think this album, the singles of this seem to have built on that. And you know, I'm just fascinated to see what happens for them next. But it's a great fucking album, and it is out this Friday, so make sure you give it a listen and support an excellent, still very young British band. And
also,
Stephen Hill has something else to say.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think the other thing that is probably worth taking into consideration, obviously this is my opinion and a taste thing or whatever, but you know, modern metalcore, I mean, I think it's quite telling that really the only bands from that scene that we've even mentioned are Bring Me the Horizon, who are probably not really that anymore, and Parkway Drive, two bands who have really kind of moved so far away from that. And I mean, I think you kind of need to credit Architects, who are, you know, are from that scene and have a lot of bands and fans of that genre following them. I think it's a very creatively desolate genre, that genre, as has been proven by the fact that, you know, the second Doomsday came out, every single one of those bands decided to totally copy it. It is a really, really generic, boring, like for me, creatively dead genre. And for a band, and so I like the fact that Architects sort of still exist in it, because every genre deserves to have, no genre is just rubbish, do you know what I mean? Like every genre deserves to have a band who are, you know, the standout bands from it. And I'm really glad that Architects are considered and are behaving like one of the standout bands from it, because the alternative, like fucking Amity Affliction and stuff like that, can get so deep into the sea. It is unreal. Like, it's just, you know, like this proves that you can do something different with anything if you've got enough imagination.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
I just wanted to say that I really love the fact that they said that before Tom passed away, he kind of wanted to nail this sound that he sort of jokingly termed bio-industrial. And I just really love that sound, obviously exemplified by Animals, but in other stuff, you know, like you mentioned, Steve, about Demigod and things like, you know, even Dead Butterflies, that sort of slowed down, like, I want to say doom, but I don't mean doom metal, just a mood. And that really kind of like crunching, driving, but slowed down kind of thing. I just love that sound. And, you know, all that stuff I said about them maybe mirroring Biffy Clyro, I also hope they kind of keep some of that heavy experimental stuff where they're sort of drawing on heavier subgenres and like twisting them into new shapes, because I just love that sound so much.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. And I think it will go down as an all-time Architect classic. The album, For Those That Wish To Exist, is out this Friday. Go listen to it, stream it, buy merch, support the band. Yeah, just a band that we're lucky to have, and I'm glad that we have them around to put out fucking bangers like this. Also out this Friday is the new album from Epica, and I'll be interviewing them for next week's podcast. Tune in for that. But in the meantime, oh, and I should say as well, if you want to read more about the new Architects album and you want some real insight into what it's all about, you should pick up the latest issue of Metal Hammer that's out right now, because Mr. Stephen Hill did an excellent interview with the band, Sam specifically, which really delves in to some of the things going on that record. And I think you will be able to imminently read Steve's very fine review for the magazine as well, because we're going to put it online for you all to see. So if this 45 odd minutes of Architects isn't enough for you, we've got plenty more out there for you to get stuck into. As I say, next week we'll be interviewing Epica about their new album and what they've been up to. But in the meantime, stay safe out there, look after yourselves, and we will see you all very soon. Cheers and goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.